وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك أسرة مولانا سليم صاحب. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, inshallah, we share with you the story of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, one of the prominent Sahabis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to accompany our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on journeys, and he tended to the personal needs of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he received the unique training and guidance in the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is known and recognized as one of the most knowledgeable companions regarding the knowledge of the Noble Quran. So once a man came to Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and told him, "I have just come from Kufa in Iraq, where I left a man filling copies of the Quran from memory." "So who is he? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked eagerly. So the person replied, "Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala." Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala became calm and said, "Woe to you. By Allah, I don't know anyone more qualified to do this than Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala." Another time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed the masjid while someone was reciting the Quran beautiful in prayer. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever wants to read the Quran as fresh as it was revealed should read like Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, as he was the person reciting the Noble Quran." So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an was one of the four people the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended the people to learn the Quran from. And when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an were very few in Makkah, weak and oppressed, one day they said, "The Quraysh have not heard the Quran being recited loudly. We can do it. So I will do it. Who can do it?" they said, you know, because the Quraysh haven't heard the Quran being recited loudly. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, "I will do it." So this was a momentous task. The Sahaba were afraid because he didn't have any tribe to protect him, and the Quraysh could easily attack and harm Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala if he started to read the Quran for everyone to hear. But Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, "Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will keep me safe from their mischief." Anyway, he went to the Kaaba where some of the Quraysh had gathered and started reciting Surah Ar-Rahman of the Quran. So when the Quraysh realized he was reciting the Quran, they came over to him and started beating him severely till he bled. Although he was very swollen and bruised, he completed reciting Surah Ar-Rahman. So the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmu'in, was sorry for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala when they saw his condition. But Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "I take an oath in the name of Allah, the enemies of Allah are more uncomfortable than me, and I wouldn't mind going to do it again." So the Sahaba told him, no, it's enough now. And this is mentioned in Ma'arif al-Hadith. Now, he had excellent manners as well, and he left to make sacrifices for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He took part in all the major battles of Islam with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in the Battle of Badr. He also fought in the battles of Uhud, Khandaq, and the Battle of Khaybar, the conquest of Makkah, Fatih Makkah, and the Battle of Hunain. So, although Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also very careful in narrating hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make sure he said the exact words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he didn't make any mistakes. So once, after telling people a hadith, he smiled after it, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned those words and also smiled after saying it. So he emulated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew that he said the hadith correctly, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pleased. So this shows us Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu's truthfulness and determination to be correct. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu also never allowed injustice of any kind, no matter who was doing it. So one day, Wahid bin Aqaba, the governor of Kufa, was late to lead the prayers in congregation. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he led the prayers. So when Wahid bin Aqaba, he came, he was very angry and demanded an explanation from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. So, and he said, Allah does not like the prayer. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Allah does not like the prayer delayed for you. Why should the people wait in the masjid for prayer while you are busy in your work? And this Wahid could not reply at all. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala would treat his family with affection and kindness, and made sure he educated them in the Quran and about Islam. And it gives us a lesson also that we must take a considerable part of our time to educate ourselves and our children in the knowledge of the Quran and about Islam. He was also very hospitable, and in Kufa, he emptied his house for serving guests. His speeches were mainly about the oneness of Allah, about prayers and salah, about the taqwa of Allah and fearing Allah, and about the akhirah, the year after. He used to say, O people, he who wants this world loses the next, and he who wants the year after does not care about this world. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala was brave and pious. Though he was short and had very thin legs, one day he climbed a tree and his legs were uncovered, and some people laughed at them. But Rasulullah said, on the day of judgment, his legs will have more weight in Allah's sight than Mount Uhud. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an lived up to the time of the Khalifa, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, the third Khalifa. And on his deathbed, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an came to visit him and said, what is your illness? And look what the reply he gave. He says, my sins. And what do you desire? Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala asked him. He said, I desire the mercy of my Lord. So should I give you your grant, which you have refused for years? Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and asked. He said, I don't need it. So then he said, let it be for your daughters after you. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala replied. And then he said, do you fear that my children will become poor? Oh Uthman, I have commanded them to read Surah Waqia every night, for I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, whoever reads Al-Waqi'ah every night shall not be afflicted with poverty ever. So much yaqeen he had in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We too must try and make it a habit of reading Surah Waqi'ah every night, inshallah, so that we shall not be afflicted with poverty. The night Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, his tongue was moist with the remembrance of Allah and the recitation of the noble Quran. So such were these great personalities who gave their life for the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they left behind a legacy of how we should lead our lives. We're just going to continue with a nice little story about a clever girl. So many years ago, in a small village, a farmer had the misfortune of owing a large sum of money to a village moneylender. Now listen to this, it's a very interesting story. So the moneylender, who was old and ugly, He took a fancy to the farmer's beautiful daughter, so he proposed a bargain. He said he would forego the farmer's debt if he could marry his daughter to him. So he had evil intentions. So both the farmer and his daughter were horrified by the proposal. So the cunning moneylender suggested they let Providence decide the matter. So he told them that he would put a black pebble and a white pebble into an empty money bag. Then the girl would have to pick one pebble from the bag. If she picked the black pebble, she would become his wife, and her father's debt would be forgiven. If she picked the white pebble, she need not marry him, and her father's debt would still be forgiven. But if she refused to pick a pebble, her father would be thrown into jail. So we're standing on a pebble-strewn path in the farmer's field. So as they talked, the money lender bent over to pick up two pebbles. As he picked them up, the sharp-eyed girl noticed that he had picked up two black pebbles. So whichever pebble you're going to be picking up is going to be in his favor. And then he put them into the bag. So he then asked the girl to pick a pebble from the bag. Now, imagine you were standing in the field. What would you do? So this girl was a little bit intentional. She was intelligent. Now, there were only three possibilities. The girl should refuse to take a pebble. The girl should show that there are two black pebbles in the bag and expose the money lender as a cheat. Or the girl should pick a black pebble and sacrifice herself in marriage to him in order to save her father from his debt and imprisonment. Now let's see what she did. The girl put her hand into the money bag and drew out a pebble. Without looking at it, she fumbled and let it fall onto the pebble-strewn path, where it became lost, immediately became lost among all the other pebbles. So then she said, "Oh, how clumsy of me." But never mind. The money lender said, "If you look into the bag for the one that is left, you will be able to touch which pebble I picked." So since the remaining pebble was black, it was assumed that she had picked the white one, and the white one dropped. And since the money lender dared not to admit his dishonesty, the girl changed what seemed an impossible situation into an extremely advantageous one. It was an advantageous one. What she said, "Life is not a bed of roses, but a smart person is the one who thinks out of the box and puts his trust in Allah to safely pass all the wind, the ill winds." So what she said is, "You know what? Let the money lender pull out the pebble from the bag. She's not going to pull it out." And it was a black pebble, and it went to go and display that the pebble that she picked, he must already think that was a white one, but in fact it was a black one, and she clumsily dropped it. So she used the strategy to come out of the situation, and alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, the father was forgiven her debt. Yes, we listen to these stories. Some are interesting. Some leave a message for all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us learn from all these things. The noble characters of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. Let us read to our children, you know, the stories of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Unfortunately, today, in many homes, the children will know the names of soccer stars and cricket players, but they do not know the names of the men, Hawlar Rasul, around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the great Sahabiyats as well, you know, who can have an influence on our lives. So we should have ta'aleem in our homes, speaking about the great the lives of the honorable Sahaba, their stories, you know, to draw closer to Allah, and to follow them, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.